Imagine stumbling across a website where women are being brutally degraded, gagged, and verbally abused, not as some fringe content, but as mainstream entertainment. This is today's pornography landscape. Gone are the relatively tame Playboy centerfolds of yesteryear. Instead, gonzo porn dominates, characterized by extreme acts designed to humiliate women, with scenes averaging 12 aggressive acts each. Nearly 90% of top-rented porn contains physical or verbal aggression against women. At industry expos, producers candidly admit they're running out of ideas, pushing boundaries ever further with scenes like women being penetrated in coffins. Their motivation? Not sex, but profit. As one veteran producer laments, performers now compete in porn Olympics to see who can endure the most extreme acts. Meanwhile, children's first exposure to pornography now averages age 11. Rather than discovering a hidden magazine with soft focus images, today's youth are catapulted into a universe of violent, degrading content before having any real-world experiences to counterbalance these disturbing portrayals. These images aren't just viewed, they're encoded into developing sexual identities during crucial formative years. Pornography, despite its variety, tells a consistent story. Women appear as one-dimensional characters, always sexually available, enthusiastic regardless of pain, and never refusing. They're portrayed as natural whores, merely reflecting men's desires, with no concern about pregnancy, STDs, or harm. Men are depicted as emotionless, life support systems for erect penises, entitled to use women however they want, showing no empathy. The sex lacks intimacy. Connection and tenderness are replaced with fear, disgust, and contempt. Acts demonstrate power over women through positioning, verbal abuse, and extreme penetration. What makes these narratives particularly dangerous is their consumption method. When viewers masturbate to these images in a heightened state of arousal, messages about sexuality are sent directly to the brain, creating powerful associations that shape sexual identity and expectations. These aren't just images, they're education about what sex should be and how relationships function. Hugh Hefner's Playboy transformed pornography by targeting upwardly mobile men with an anti-marriage ideology. He marketed it as softcore to distributors while positioning it to readers as sophisticated lifestyle content, allowing middle-class men to consume pornography without feeling low-class. The market evolved when Penthouse launched in 1969 with more explicit content, while Larry Flynt's Hustler pushed boundaries further by abandoning any pretense of social value. These publications established the foundations for today's multi-billion dollar porn industry. Pornography has thoroughly infiltrated mainstream culture. Companies like Girls Gone Wild built empires marketing extreme content as hot, sexy fun, manipulating young women in alcohol-soaked environments. What seemed like harmless fun often becomes devastating as these performances follow women throughout life. Even porn performers like Jenna Jameson reveal the industry's dark reality. She describes her first photo shoot as deeply uncomfortable. Spreading my legs was the worst. Exposing my insides to strangers was so daunting. She notes that most women enter porn through gonzo films, in which they're taken to a crappy studio apartment and penetrated in every hole possible by some abusive asshole who thinks her name is bitch. Pornography has grown into a $96 billion global enterprise. Major corporations profit discreetly. Cable providers like Comcast earn millions from adult video on demand, while hotel chains, including Marriott and Hilton, generate over $500 million annually from in-room entertainment. Technology companies from Microsoft to Google benefit from porn industry software purchases and search traffic. The industry builds mainstream legitimacy through PR firms, product placement, and trade organizations. Porn performers increasingly cross into mainstream entertainment, with the Los Angeles Times noting they've become just one more celebrity life form among many. Companies study consumer psychology to maximize profits, even exploiting addiction patterns for revenue. As pornography's economic power grows, so does its political influence. The concentration of ownership and emergence of well-financed firms with mainstream connections provides powerful allies, accelerating society's pornographization. What was once fringe now wields significant cultural and economic influence, shaping entertainment and technology.
Boys learn early that vulnerability brings social punishment, with being called a girl as the ultimate insult. This socialization creates emotionally disconnected men hiding behind masculinity masks. Media reinforces this divide through violent programming that normalizes sexualized aggression. Pornography appeals by offering consequence-free sexual experiences that reinforce male power. The industry dehumanizes women through degrading labels while portraying performers as enthusiastically consenting to degradation, creating the "these women love it" illusion that alleviates viewer guilt. Pornography's formulaic nature quickly becomes predictable, driving users toward increasingly extreme content for stimulation. This explains the prevalence of humiliation-focused content. On forums like Adult DVD Talk, fans celebrate women's discomfort in extreme scenes. Anal sex in porn is popular primarily for its potential to cause pain. As one executive noted, it appeals to men fantasizing about dominating women who've angered them. Conversations with thousands of college men reveal how porn distorts sexual expectations. Many feel like sexual losers when reality doesn't match pornography's depiction of constant availability, developing frustration toward women who reject their advances. Even successful hookups disappoint as real sex differs from porn. Their bodies can't replicate the Viagra-enhanced performances they've watched. Adam described his first experience. "I had this image of how great sex would be. She didn't have an orgasm, and I came really quickly." Men become frustrated when partners resist porn-inspired acts. More concerning, many need to mentally replay porn scenes during sex to reach orgasm, making them emotionally absent. Dan admitted, "I can't get the pictures of anal sex out of my head when having sex, and I am not really focusing on the girl." The Portman Clinic in London reports phenomenal numbers of patients adversely affected by internet porn. These men neglect responsibilities, become isolated, and often develop depression. Most troubling are accounts from men who've become so desensitized they seek increasingly extreme content that previously disgusted them. Phil confessed, "Sometimes I can't believe the porn I like. I feel like a freak." Pornography's ubiquity has made it nearly invisible, infiltrating our lives and relationships in a massive social experiment that encodes itself into our identities while degrading human dignity. An effective movement needs a vision of sexuality based on equality, dignity, and respect, organizing against the commodification of human needs and rejecting industrialized images of sex. Men must join this resistance, as they too are dehumanized by pornography. Their refusal to participate would undermine the industry while offering them a sexuality celebrating connectedness and intimacy based on equality rather than subordination. True sexual liberation isn't found in extreme acts or detached performance, but in genuine connection and mutual pleasure. What would sexuality look like if not shaped by a profit-focused industry? How might we relate if our understanding of intimacy wasn't filtered through domination? The path forward requires courage to imagine something better, a sexuality honoring our full humanity rather than reducing us to consumers and objects. In our pornography-saturated culture, the most radical act may be reclaiming intimacy that celebrates connection rather than conquest.